Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. B. Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with B. Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister, bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Arvel Bird, musician extraordinaire. Visit him at arvelbird.com and get a hold of all of Arvel's wonderful music. You are listening to the Light Givers Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now,
Not on.
Can you hear us, Greg?
Yeah, I can. I was asking you guys if you use the the chat room.
Okay, yes, great. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Is Lynn Hoft, and good morning. I'm here representing the Light Givers International Association, along with Gregory Scott and Vivian Hildebrandt. And we're facilitating and participating in our third Sunday of the month call, which is our Light Giver message production, and also culminates in our worldwide Sourcination experience, which is a gift to all of us and to the planet, probably a lot bigger and expanding on out into the universe. So it's just wonderful to be here again. We take turns, some of us at the Light Givers organization take turns with these calls, and it's always fun when our turn comes around. Today, each one of these calls is pretty much structured around a message that Gregory received from the higher beings or other beings, higher beings, let's go for higher beings. and this one is titled Ascension. Well, it's not titled Ascension, but the focus is on Ascension in a very unique way. Before we leap into that conversation, I just wanted to mention that a lot of people find out about these calls from GGM Radio's platform online, or by going to Blog Talk Radio. And there is a message that we discuss in this third Sunday class, and each month is a different message, and there are a series right now of 12 messages available for discussion. And we distribute these through our website, so when people sign up to be on our mailing list, then they get our regular monthly announcements, which have the message for that month attached. And just in case you're wondering, where do I get this message? So for next month, I would suggest, if you're planning on joining us again, or if you want to get the messages and read them, or whatever your heart's desire there, you could go to our website. It's on the first home page, on the right-hand column near the bottom. It says something like, "Would you like more information?" And if you sign your name up there, you will be automatically signed up for our monthly newsletter and any other major information that we have to send out for you during the month, which at this point has amounted to very little. Sometimes we resend the newsletter if there have been some changes, but pretty much the newsletter covers everything that's available in the scope of what we're doing for that month. And most of that is the GGM radio broadcast. So today's message, the Golden Age Light Giver message number 11, and it's, as I said, it's focused on ascension. And from someone who's been focused on ascension herself, I like the material that comes across in this article. It takes what you know and kind of moves it out to another level. And so I'm going to just do a little bit of an introduction to this beginning of this talk, and then I'm going to open it up and see if any of our likers on here would like to comment, and then if any of you would like to comment. This is an open discussion, and so we have... Is there anybody in? Yeah, we have several people on the call, and we'll let you know. We may call for your area code or something and see if you have something to say if we don't have people ready to jump in. Okay, so first of all, it talks about how does one prepare oneself for ascension? And I really liked the gist of what was being said here. I think the key word is discipline. And I can relate to that because my search has not been, well, I don't know how unusual or how traditional it is. I guess I came into was born into a Christian family and left the church before I turned 21, tried to be a agnostic for a few years. That didn't work too good because I still wanted the ceremony that was involved with church work. And I also had a call of soul that was looking for more. And then I was led to a spiritual path, which I worked in for more than 20 years, and there was a lot of discipline involved in that work, learning how to do contemplation, how to get quiet, how to listen from the inside out. And a lot of those kind of things, and a lot of life experience that also takes off some of the rough edges. Anyway, is there anyone on the call that wants to say something about the idea of discipline as a way of preparing for ascension?
Everyone on the call is mic'd, so please contribute.
Well, I'd like to say that what was interesting to me in both reading this and being involved in receiving it, this is Gregory, that for a long time I had the feeling that I kind of discounted the importance of discipline and thought that if I would do a spiritual exercise in the morning, then that would take care of the day. And then if I got through the day the best way I could, then I'd do one at night, and that would take care of everything else. And what's become really clear is that the idea of spiritual exercises is that it's merely it's a stepping stone into developing the art of staying completely centered the whole time. I can think of knowing people and going to sessions and meetings where we would sit, maybe there's some that you were in, Lynn, as well, where you would sit maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and after doing a meditation or contemplation, and after it was over, you know, you'd finish and say, wow, wasn't that great? And then you'd go through the program, and then once the seminar and the workshop was over, then you'd go out and deal with life pretty much the way you've been dealing with it all along. You know, which kind of misses the point of the necessity of the intention, I'll say, of the exercise. So I think the example of how a driver could be all over the road, you know, who hasn't maintained that focus, is kind of like, for many of us, the way we go through life. We're like bumper cars. Or how about that little silver ball in a pinball machine? You know, we're kind of being banged from one place to the other. And so the intention of the disciplines is to lay the foundation for continuing to be centered. And I hadn't really thought of it exactly that way you know, you know, sometimes you have a hunch and we all have a nudge and say, ah, that's not what it's about. But I hadn't really thought about it completely that way until this information came through. And I said, oh, yeah, now I understand even better. Hope this helps.
Thank you, Gregory. That does help a lot. And that is the key. The key to what's being said there is that we learn to become focused. We learn to, like it said here, narrow our attention, become single-minded. And also, I liked what you said to start with, because it's like, relate to it in my own way, is that I've been practicing. Don't talk with the cough drop in your mouth there. Sorry about that. I've been practicing staying centered. And then I've had enough benefits of staying centered that now I would do about anything to be centered, because I know that's when the flow comes through the strongest and I get the greatest benefit. So it becomes essential to my being to stay in that flow, and instead of be distracted outside and all around it. And it's I think maybe we ought to go on and then if we have any other comments about that, we can come back to it. But what a lovely way to begin this discussion. So what are the benefits? You said here, perhaps the main benefit of ascension is the recognition and achievement of what could be called the divine content. Or the divine context. People spend their entire lives reading, studying, listening to enlightened individuals, hours and hours, days and days, years and years. But it doesn't, whatever it for them is, doesn't occur. And then you went on to say that the benefits of ascension are simple. What has eluded us becomes an expanded consciousness, bliss state, tranquility, God wisdom, and so forth. And on to say the most important benefit is it makes sense. It's like all this stuff that's been floating around, all of a sudden it kind of lines up and comes together and creates a whole that has deep meaning and purpose for our lives.
You know, I just want to say, a lot of times, some of these things that are benefits, you know, you hear these people who have enlightened consciousnesses, and they start talking about, you know, peace and love and tranquility, and it's almost like they're talking about the other side of the moon. You say, are you kidding me? Yeah, we all want to get to the moon, but you say that I can live a peaceful life with all this heck I'm catching on a day-to-day basis? You know, it's sometimes just hard, you know, it's hard to wrap your brain around the idea that this stuff is achievable. And so there are folks who go to seminars when I was in a particular group. Seminars ending, right? You stand there with your luggage getting ready to get in a taxi cab to go to the airport so you can go home. And somebody says to me, are you going to make the next seminar? You know what I mean? You'd say, well, I didn't get all I was supposed to get this time, but maybe if I go to the next one, maybe I can figure this stuff out. Maybe some of these benefits will accrue. You know, and by the time you get out to the airport, you get through, I don't know if we had security screening in those days, But anyway, I guess maybe they had stagecoaches. I don't know. But anyway, by the time you'd get to the airport and get on the plane, and by the time you get home, it was like the glow was still up in the air somewhere. And now you're trying to find your car, and you're wondering if you're traveling with the spouse, if the babysitter did a good job, and how the kids are doing, and you remember the dishes you left in the sink, and all that good stuff that you spent hundreds of dollars to have, that glow and those benefits have just disappeared. So, you wonder, well, why is that? So you say, well, maybe if I read another book. Hey, have you heard? There's another discourse coming out. And if you look at the title of the discourse or the content of it, it's the same thing that was in the last discourse. So, you know, you say, well how are you going to figure this stuff out? How are you going to get it? You know, what's going on? What's happening? What we're saying in this work is that there is something called ascension that once it occurs for you, you look back at it and you say, oh, now I understand what's going on. It's almost as if it's hard to understand what it is until you've experienced it. You see what I'm saying? You know, it's like we're living in this huge structure. We're living in the matrix, right? We're living in the matrix, and people are walking around saying, well, what is this place? They say, oh, this is the matrix. This is where I live. And once you get outside the matrix, you look back at it and you say, oh, yeah, now I got it. I get it. Boy, don't give me the talking stick too many times, folks. I'm on a roll.
Oh, that was good, Gregory. But I'm thinking, too, the real benefit, particularly to me, is accepting that state of expansion, of more awareness, of more love, of ascension, is really now my default setting. You know, sort of computer jargon here, but it's like it's there. And it's not something I have to grasp for. It's more that I can step back into it, relax, if I ever leave it, which I have many times. But it's there. It's my default. And so that is it's not like a bodyguard. You know, it's not like you have your personal bodyguard, but it's like that wonderful realization that this is where I am and this is where I can be as much as I can.
Well, Vivian, you know that I don't have any hair on my head, right? You know that.
Yeah.
You're making it stand on end, or you're making my scalp tingle, or something like that. You know, that's the whole part of it. You know, and we wind up talking about ascension, and the part that's underneath that is, is it possible to talk ourselves into it? Not that you're doing that, because you're talking about the realization. You know, it's almost as to say, well, what makes it happen? How does it occur? And the point is, I don't think it's in this particular dictation, it's from the direct experience of it. It's from the direct experience of it. And once you've experienced it, then there is that shift, as you're saying, there's that shift to the point where it's your natural state of being. Oh, sure, there'll be times, you know, you walk outside and a rainstorm comes up, or you're walking out in your parking lot and you look at your van like I did a few months ago, and somebody has run into the bumper. There's this huge bumper in my already dented up van. You know, so you walk out there and there'll be that momentary flicker. It's a momentary flicker, which is natural. If somebody pinches you, your nervous system will go ouch, or ouchie, as the case may be, but it will go ouch. And when it goes ouch, that's natural. That's a part why we have energy fields. The whole purpose of the energy fields and ego is simply to define what our natural boundaries are. But the point is, as opposed to going into a lower state of anger or upset, instead you flip back into your natural state of being. That is the state of the ascended conscious. And from that perspective, you're spending most of your time. You know how many people who will have things occur on the highway? You know, so here you are, you're having a meeting, and the person comes in, and you say, boy, you really seem to be in a bad mood. And you say, well, why is that? And the person says, well, I was almost in an accident, and the guy ran into me, and blah, 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 blah. And you look at him and say, well, where did the accident occur? So, well, it was on the highway. And you want to say, well, why are you bringing the highway in here? It's over with. Well, but that's where most people operate. But the fact of the matter is, once you've had the ascension experience, which is available, quite frankly, on the Lightgiver website, you know, click, 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 it's zoom, 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 pretty much where most folks, it happens. Once you've had that, then your default position is to be in a common state. Say, boy, I'm glad to be here. This meeting is great. It's nice to see you. Boy, you know, there's a terror. I almost had an accident on the road. You did, but what are we doing today? I mean, it's just such a shift when one is in the ascension consciousness. And it is such a gift. Boy, give me that talking stick. I'm on a roll. You can tell I don't get a chance to talk to many people about this stuff. So go ahead.
Oh, I agree.
Let's look at the next section because I think it adds another critically important piece. And you're walking through this experience in your life and it's kind of hard to distinguish, well, what were the mile markers? And I think this part, is there a secret society of ascenders, is really important to know that there are those who have been given the empowerment to assist others to ascend. And you'll find them or they'll find you if that's where your heart is. And I love this statement, but the fundamental act of ascension is facilitated by the conscious attention. No, conscious, that means like awake and alive and right there and knowing what is going on. The conscious attention of one who has within the empowerment to provide such assistance to the individual who has that intention. So it's this person who has the empowerment to provide the assistance of ascension in essence, and it's with the permission of the individual receiving that. So this is a conscious process when it comes right down to it. It's not a, and that really jumped out to me, the importance of the fact that you have to have someone there who's empowered to distribute this to others. And within the, that's been the whole purpose of the Lightgivers being organized and put into place and our website being set up in the manner it is to demonstrate a place where there is an empowerment for a person to move forward in their own consciousness and that there is a plan that one can follow to continue moving into a higher and higher state of awareness. Anybody want to jump on that one?
Well, I've been completely irrepressible. If anybody else wants to say anything, then that's good. And I have some thoughts that are beginning to come to me. And the thought is that whenever I heard somebody talk like this before, you know, where they'd say that somebody's been empowered to do so-and-so, it was always like, with all due respect, and this has nothing to do, by the way, with what you've said, Lynn, it has to do with what my experience has been, it was the hook. You know what I'm saying? It was the little thing that would let you say, well, now, who can I go see, and what do I need to join, and it would always be the hook to become associated with somebody who was claiming that he or she had the capacity to be my spiritual master, my spiritual leader. So as a result, when I accepted that idea, there was like an inward transfer, believe it or not, of my own self-responsibility. You understand what I'm saying? It was my own transfer. So, therefore, I would join this organization, and the people would say, oh, the words are words to the effect, oh, and instead of saying the master, you might say, this organization is led by the chief ascender. And as a chief ascender, he is empowered to give you initiations. And over a period of time, you may be able to become the chief ascender yourself. Now, everybody said that, but if there were 100,000 people, there would be 999,999 people who did not become the chief ascender. Why? Because there was just one person who got the job, and everybody else was, I suppose, spiritually not qualified. What excites me personally so much about what we're involved with and the Lightgiver program is that it's almost as if we are now a public society of ascenders. And by that, it means that everybody who steps in the door, steps up to the plate, or listens even to this radio, listens to this show, gets on the website, receives the endowment, receives the empowerment, which would allow them, if they are able to move through the sequence or if they move through the soul ascension sequence, to at least share that much with the protocol that you can get on the website for no charge. You don't even have to donate anything. You just get it. That you're able to share that with anybody. So we now have become the public society of ascenders, or the ascenders, anyway, society for the public or something like that, and which to me is so exciting that we're not a recruitment organization. We're not trying to create a group of followers for Sri Lynn or Sri Vivian or Sri Gregory. We're just a group of people who are hanging out with the idea of ascension, have the endowment, and want to give it away. A friend of mine, as a matter of fact, Ian Gardner, who was on the show a few weeks ago, the Sunday show that I do, put a little plug here, on the first Sunday of every month, he says, you guys are like a spiritual virus. I said, I hadn't thought about it that way. Because you've got this thing that you're just passing on to other folks and allowing them, if they choose, to take the step themselves and share it with others. So it's like a multi-level, no-level, spiritual level program. Gotta have some fun, Jay.
That's a good one, Greg. That's one for the book. Okay, that was excellent. It's like you do the Source Nation online, and you receive the empowerment to impact everyone you meet. And if you so choose, you can direct them to the website and watch it grow from there. It's like wherever each individual is, if it creates some impact in that person, the awareness will occur and they'll take further steps, and otherwise it won't be time. The next section is critically important. What is the role of Source in ascension? In the Lightgivers, we ended up creating this word Sourcination to identify what occurs as part of this expansion of energy and awareness. And I'll just read what it says here in the middle of this paragraph. Those empowered with the power to perform ascensions are not only imbued with Source energy, but they are energetically the source of it themselves.
Mark these words, they are the source itself. Not only is their intention and that of the source coincident, but energetically, they and the source are one. This point cannot be overemphasized. So, it's the power of intention that through which the experience of ascension is granted. And we worked with and continue to work with the archangels continually with this process, the hierarchies, the spiritual hierarchies. The piece that I'm mulling over in my mind, not what I was thinking about when I was planning to talk about this, but what's kind of coming through right now, is that understanding that came to me some point when I was, I believe it was after I started doing the Universal Healer work with Gregory. And it was a new understanding of source. And that's what, there's this wonderful description here. But the idea that source, to me, this it demonstrates that source is not something outside of us. When it says, you and the source are one, that's it exactly. That each one of us human beings is a part of source. And this is just bringing that into conscious awareness, which totally expands who we are. That's the piece that I think is the marker that says, this soul is a part of source. And do you have a bird, Greg?
No, that's not someone has their mic on.
Okay.
And a dog.
Well, he liked the conversation about source anyway. And that's another point, you know. It's not just that we as human beings are source beings. But so is that little bird. So are our pets. All living things are elements of source. And we're all in this together. And we are in no manner, in no means insignificant. Being a source being gives you the power of the universe. And I just wanted to throw that out there. Did you want to add something, Biff?
Well, the thing that came through to me was that if we really acknowledge the source in everyone, I mean, that would be the foundation for a new world. There would be no war, no killing, you know, no put-downs. I mean, at the simplest level, no bullying, none of it, if I acknowledged you and everyone else as source. You know, it's just overwhelming, you know, the impact of that.
Well, there's an extension of that, too, I'd like to go with, and this is a challenge, you know, for me as one who's in ascension all the time, is that every single moment, whether we're aware of it or not, the conscious choice to be overwhelmed, to be reactive, or to see and be God in the physical body, or God-like, is present. Every moment is present. And so we get a chance to flash on that when we are, as you were saying, in that default mode. And there was a psychologist named Viktor Frankl who survived, as you may know, and some of the listeners may recall, survived years in a concentration camp. And when the Americans came to liberate the people in the concentration camp where he was, most of the people who were there were completely traumatized and weren't able to even accept the idea that they could walk out the gates. Viktor Frankl, I think, walked out the gates whistling. He's happy. And people said, how can you be so happy? How have you managed to survive? And Viktor Frankl said to them, I came to understand that every time I became aware of something, this is not exactly his quotes, but I'm paraphrasing. Every time I became aware of something, I understood that I had the choice of choosing, in this context, you'd say choosing to be godlike or choosing to be reactive or fearful. And he said, I choose. I choose. And that's the God-given element that can't be taken away from anyone. I mean, you can give it away, and that's the right and the capacity to make, shall we say, the God choice, to accept Vivian's example of default. Things occur, and inwardly and outwardly, she defaults. So it means, therefore, then, that rather than us moving through life, or suggesting to people, which I don't think anyone's done, that they move through life, start with a carrot on the stick, you know, where the God choice or the source awareness is a carrot on the stick, where you say, like the person going to seminars, well, if I wait until tomorrow, I'll finally get it. Or if I read this again, the moment's now. It's here and now. And as we think and reflect, notice that inner peace, that inner being, that inner awareness, that stillness, that centeredness. And that allows us to make choices, to move through life being the God being in every moment. Sometimes we aren't completely, but most of the time it's there. And I think that that's just such a key point, you know, with regards to this whole thing, that we're not talking about something that's out there that might occur. It's right now, in this moment, right now, here.
One other idea that comes to me in this, and I'm not quite sure how to relate it, but it has to do with this other work that Vivian and I have been involved in for 20-some years, which we call Back to Brilliance. And in our understanding of brilliance is that it's that core, that heart, that source of who we are. It is our connection to all of that light and love and power. And the thing that we've been teaching people about what we call the brilliance formula, which are different aspects of recognizing brilliance, attaining brilliance, accessing your brilliance, staying in your brilliance, there are some tools and strategies available to us that help us master that beingness in the moment, beingness in the source moment. And for us, those brilliance tools have been an essential part of that. And one of the key pieces is understanding thought. And I'm sure most of us by now have done all the studies we could about how to create the life we want, because we found out that you can do it with your thinking.
And that's been a whole explanation. And the thing is, you can create with your thinking when your focus of thought is coming out of your source consciousness or your brilliance. You are creating pure bliss. You are creating the highest. And when your thinking is watered down with old habits of thinking, when your thinking is watered down with old thought systems or beliefs that dumb down your awareness of what's really going on, then you create much less than your highest. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's important not to be naive, like this is going to be instant. Well, maybe it will be for you, but my experience has been I've had to learn how to hold those pieces together, how to discipline myself to stay out of those old habits of thought that were leading me in the wrong direction.
It appears we have someone at 972 who might like to make a comment, so I'm going to open up the mic for you. Oops, I'm sorry, they disappeared.
Go ahead. They hung up. Oh.
Okay. So the next section, we've only got a few left here, is there any limit to ascension? Hey, Gregory, would you jump in on that one?
It's hard for me to restrain myself. Well, the whole problem, what that idea is concerned with is that so many of us live in worlds and lives where we're completely overwhelmed. And without realizing it, we have this whole feeling, essentially, that we're surrounded. We're like culture, we're like Custer. And what, Little Bighorn, who was completely surrounded by all of these things, all of these people, in fact, were Native Americans who were attacking him, and rightfully so. But aside from that little bit of history, there are people who are dealing with jobs and homes being foreclosed and children who are having difficulty in school, you know, unfriendly neighbors and cars that are, you know, that are leaking and not working and tires that are going flat. And in that moment, they not only are they under siege, they're living in a world of limits. They're living in a world of unfreedom. Now, the contrast is to, on the one hand, how they're experiencing themselves. It's almost as if they can't breathe. And yet, there is a whole zone of beingness that's almost like clear oxygen, where even though they are surrounded by all of these influences, there is the possibility to take a clear breath and to understand that the self, which I think the Bhagavad Gita or one of them talks about, soul cannot be destroyed. I guess this is in the Cherokee Sugmat Ekankar. It cannot be wet. It cannot be torn. It cannot be burned. It means that there is an immortal part of ourselves which is completely impervious to all of that. So even though as an ordinary daily life we're aware of these limits, still, as Paul Twitchell's book was titled, in my soul, I am free. So the implication is that it's possible, even though all this stuff is going on, to experience life completely limitless. doesn't mean that if you get in your car and try to start it, and someone mentions to you, oh, by the way, I saw some guy taking your battery down the street, open your hood and take your battery, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, like a cartoon, your car is going to levitate and immediately drive you someplace. What it does mean is that the experience of oneself is infinite, that the limits, though they may bind you physically, your inner self, your spiritual self, doesn't feel itself fitting within those bounds. I mean, so that's, now there's another way of describing it, as a contrast between the finite consciousness, the little consciousness, and the infinite consciousness. And once again, so many times we hear, you know, these individuals who are enlightened, so-called enlightened, who are talking about this stuff. They're doing it very grandly. The hidden agenda is to develop a followership. Quite often the hidden agenda is not to set us free. What's underneath all that is, you know, I've got a new book coming out. There's another discourse. There's a seminar I want you to come to. That's the underlying agenda, because you can't get it truly and completely until it occurs to you. Once you get it, you got it. Then the question is, how do you, like you're saying, Lynn, be mindful of it and allow yourself to move back into that state? I don't know. Is there more to be said about that, Lynn? You know, I come from a long line of preachers and pastors, so I can talk till we take up collection.
Let's see if 618 area code has a comment.
Hi, ladies. Hi, Gregory.
Hi.
Hello, Susan.
Hi. That was a good point you made, Gregory, about everyday people, the less fortunate. Just everyday people have so many problems and everyday situations that they're not usually thinking about Source of Nation. but some of them do get the point and do try, but they're consumed with everyday life. And that's sad, but it's so very true. That's what I got out of that. And with my work that I do, I have found that, not just regular people on the street, but psychics and that will go on to say their higher power and everything. But good Lord, you wouldn't know it by the way they were talking. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to hold on to for some people, to hold on to their brilliance, their source, their spirituality. And that's where I have a few. I don't have problems staying in touch with my spirits, my brilliance, my source. What gets me off track is the everyday people around me sometimes. So needless to say, I don't have a lot of people around me because I don't want to deal with it. I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can talk easier to my spirits. I know my spirits, my God, my Jesus, I know them more than I do the average person, because I deal with that. I'm one of those freaks who deal with that more than, if you want to say, real life, everyday things. But that's the way I was brought up. That's the way I learned.
I appreciate your sharing that, because you're certainly not the only person who lives in that manner. And I think right now, particularly where we are on this planet and as far as where we are in ascension, some people are finding that it's essential for them to pull back, that's one of the mm-hmm. easiest ways, or one way at least. I don't know about easier, but it's one
easier.
Okay, it's one way to keep from being constantly bombarded with the social consciousness that limits
yes. that tries to hold us in to this plan A, so to speak, and we're moving on to plan B. And I think a lot of people may even be struggling with that within themselves, and they haven't figured out that, oh, it's okay to step back. It's okay to do what I need to do right now to protect this new wisdom that's coming through me. Later on, I will be secure in it, and it won't. I won't need this kind of protection. Plus, later on, when more and more people are moving into this new understanding, there's going to be more and more people supporting it. It will flip over, and so it's like, it's not a life sentence necessarily. It's just what?
It's interesting.
Candy, huh?
It can be interesting because I went against my own grain and did what my kids wanted me to. They wanted me to go out with someone, so I did it. Just because my kids talked me into it like a fool. And you know, it's hard to find someone with my goals or my set of experiences to even chat over dinner. You know, I found it horrible myself, so I had to go home. But what I'm trying to say, it's hard to find people on a daily basis that are into what I'm into, that are walking down the same road, to some extent anyway.
Right. Well,
I'm not
think
trying to knock humans, but they got a long way to go. That's my. But I can appreciate it. It's a long road to get from A to B to C.
Thing is different for each one of us.
Exactly. And it's amazing. One of you had spoken about, I'm trying to remember, staying on track and going from point to point and getting off track. And that's the whole thing. If you can stay on track, your trip's going to be shorter.
And Susan, I know for me, I've had some reactions, as you're mentioning, to certain people, but if I see them as source, and as an expression of source at whatever, what we want to call level, it really is a lesson for me in patience or love or expanding myself into my higher self again. So even though it seems like it's a trial, it also has its benefits for me. But
right,
we are going to
patience.
Yes. We are going to go into our. Yeah, our Sourcination ceremony. So Lynn's going to get that going.
Yeah, I just want to wrap up here for a moment.
Yeah, we have a few more minutes, don't we?
What?
How long does the Sourcination ceremony take?
About 8 to 10 minutes.
Okay. You have nearly a half an hour, do you not?
Well, we usually call the call at about an hour.
Oh, okay.
We're kind of going over today.
Okay.
So we have plenty of time. Did you want to go on? And
yeah, well, I just wanted to, something
time,
I wanted
Greg.
To share. I just had a thought, believe it or not. I had a thought. And the thought was, you know, it's one of these things you say, boy, why didn't I think of this before? Why has it taken me all these years to finally figure this out? We have two systems that we live in. What is the system of the outer effects, you know, the world of being pummeled, I'll say, and beaten upon, and the other is the inner world of freedom. And you know what? We don't give the inner world of freedom nearly equal time.
Mm.
Think about it. You know, at least I don't. I spend most of my time, you know, I have a little spare time. I might turn on the TV like I did last night. You know, watch a little basketball, wonder who won, turn it off. I have a little book that I, every now and then I'll read a book and so forth, maybe get in the telephone conversation. And then I'm lucky if in a day I manage to squeeze in a little hour or so, maybe an hour and a half altogether, of contemplation and meditations. How in heaven's name, if we give such little attention to our inner life, how in heaven's name can that little bit of attention compete with this whole barrage of information, emotions, actions, and reactions that are coming at me outside? You might say our inner life is completely outnumbered. So what really struck me, the reason why I thought about that, is that a good friend of mine was on my Sunday show, I think it was the early part of this month, Donna Rourke, who talked about what happens for him when he goes to a Buddhist retreat. And it turns out that they must meditate, you know, five times a day, and each time is probably about an hour. So maybe almost a third of their waking time is spent in the inner life, which by definition needs to bring about the kind of peace and centeredness that ascension is largely aimed at helping to evoke. And the idea would be that the extent that one is able to find that kind of time, then that's the extent to which the one is able to maintain the ascended state. And the rest of that is hanging on to beliefs or hopes, I imagine. I have a friend who calls me periodically and says, well, what are you doing right now? And I say to her, well, I'm sitting here in I have a blue chair that I fell in love with. I'm sitting in my chair doing my level best to keep it from levitating to the ceiling. So she calls me three or four times a day or five times a day. The odds are I'm sitting there holding that chair down, but the fact of the matter is I'm actually getting that contemplative time in, which is the benefit, I guess, of being retired. So I wanted to get that in. The other thing I just want to point out is that I didn't notice it, and Vivian apparently didn't notice it either, and that is a few places there's reference to the Grand Master, and that's the spiritual title that I was using a couple of years ago. And if you have a copy of that particular lesson, that title would be probably changed to, when we re-edit it, to the Universal Ascension Master, which kind of reflects the responsibility that I have to help folks access their own spiritual awareness and take responsibility for experiencing ascension. And I really don't transmit it. What we do is support your ascension, and it's your own responsibility to exercise that freedom of choice. So I wanted to get that in there. Lynn, thanks for allowing it.
Sure. Thanks, Gregory. Always good to get your insights. It occurs to me, along with that conversation that you laid out there, it's like, and this relates also to our work with Brilliance and Understanding Thought, is you can either live from the inside out or from the outside in, mm-hmm. which is an easy way of saying it. Living from the outside in is what we've all been conditioned and trained to do since birth. So we do kind of have we're more patterned to work that way, one might say. So we've got to break all those old habits as we learn to listen within and follow our source spirit guidance. And it's part of what we're going through right now on the planet as a group of souls who are in ascension together. And I think it's fascinating. I know I couldn't sit in that chair all day long. It just, I don't know. I get a little bored after a while. I go in, I get my insights. Sometimes I go do a little work somewhere else, and then I come back. You know, it's kind of like I have a little nap, and I went off and learned something, and then I bring it back. And it's like this constant rebalancing how I'm making my connection
to the world, and in another sense, which world am I connecting to? You know, that kind of thing. So it's we're all in this together. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you know, and not everybody, you know, needs to sit down or get on their knees. There's some people who practice kind of like walking meditations or Tai Chi.
Right.
You know, whatever it is, it gets them in that inner connection is what it's all about, because the perfect representation symbolically might be that of the yin-yang symbol. And a lot of folks will focus on, well, is it yin or is it yang? And the true, from my perception, the true meaning of that symbol is that little line that goes down the middle between those two parts of the yin-yang symbol. One part is white, the other part is black. Because that little line represents, shall we say, the balance point and also the continuous movement of consciousness from one state, you know, to another. So, you know, just sitting down is not necessarily all it's about. Because, you know, a lot of people sit down and spend their whole time wondering, well, what are they going to do next? or was what they did the last time any good? You know, and they say, well, I did my time. Yeah, you did, right.
Okay. Oh, that just brings me back to the day where I first decided that I was going to learn to calm my mind, and I don't remember the name of the book that I read it, right? But, you know, it promised psycho-cybernetics. That was it. It promised that I could do this. And I remember sitting on the couch for days and even weeks as my whole body twitched. And there just wasn't, it was a long process. But,
yeah, you know, on that same point, I remember a brilliant, I thought it was pretty smart, of course, by this time I said, well, it wasn't that smart, but a brilliant insight I had once back when I was learning a technique with which I know you both are familiar, where you concentrate on your spiritual eye. And then I was given the responsibility of being a spiritual aide. And that was in Ekankar, where I would sit with people who were having spiritual problems and hear them share their concerns, and I would share whatever wisdom came through that seemed to be consistent with helping them. And they would have this problem where they've been looking at their spiritual eye for 10 years and didn't feel like their lives were improving or they were getting insights. And so sitting with them, the insight came, well, you know, maybe they're looking in the wrong place. And so I would actually sit with them and have them sort of search around in their inner consciousness, and sure enough, they would come across a point where, you know, things would light up and they would feel uplifted, and it was wonderful. But the great insight was that the spiritual point was just only a place to start. And more importantly, that it needed to expand to the point where, instead of the whole focus and understanding of God being this little bitty point between the eyes, the whole focus is the entire self. So I found myself trying to do an exercise where this little point would expand to a bubble, and I would move inside of it and know that all that little God energy that I was trying to concentrate like a laser between my eyes was now infusing my entire beingness. And, boy, I thought that was the smartest thing. And then it's almost as if somebody says, well, you know, there's a world outside. Why are you just focusing on your little body, your little puny human body? There's more to you than that. And then you get to the world, and then the thought comes, well, you know, there is a solar system. You know, then you get to the solar system level. You say, oh, wait a minute, there's something called the universe. And by that time, you're ready to say, okay, not what else. I'm for whatever it is, the whole thing. And at that point, you know, one begins to migrate to accepting the concept and experience that all is. I am. We are. It is. God is. We are truly one. And B, being in that zone, as opposed to defining it to, or confining it, I'll say, to some sort of mental activity or aspiration. You know, and a lot of the spiritual work, unfortunately, is spent in the aspirational mode. And by that I mean it's as if the individual spiritually is living his or her life, you know, on their knees, saying, you know, it's like an old spiritual song, old Negro spiritual says, you know, heaven, heaven, everybody's talking about it, ain't nobody going, heaven. So what we are talking about is the process in which we engage with being in the kingdom of heaven while still in the physical body, here and now, as opposed to some, you know, some future event, some future occurrence. Oh, when I do the next spiritual exercise. Oh, when I read the next book. Oh, when I get another chair in my case, who knows? Anyway, boy, I tell you, you folks have got to keep me off this show because, boy, I get to talk.
Okay. I'm going to wrap up my part here, Greg, and then we're going to ask you to do the sourcination for us.
It will be my honor.
There are, for those of you who have been or have not been following this light giver message, there are a couple of fascinating sections that we didn't get to. One had to do with the role of extraterrestrials in ascension, and the other is about the Mayan calendar. And as I said before, you can go on our website, thelightgivers.org, down at the bottom on the right-hand column, and get your name on our mailing list so that you receive these monthly announcements of what's going on. And since we're into March now, halfway through, I'll just remind you that we have about two or three more events to go. The Thursday events coming up, March 21st, that's Thursday evening with Gregory, is a vaccination with Source. And March 28th is Sourcination and Ascension. So those conversations will probably expand what we've been discussing here today. And then in April, the first Sunday event, which is a big one, Conversations Beyond the Edge with Gregory, he's going to have Karen Bosque as his guest. So thank you all for being here with us this morning. And now, Gregory, would you lead us in this sourcination? And then when we finish, we're going to just quietly move out of the call.
Okay, well, thank you. I'd like to say it's really an honor to be able to lead this conversation, because what we are going to do during this call, this particular part of the call, is not only sourcination, but it is a world healing celebration. Now, for those of you who are on the call and those of you who are listening to the call from the archives, what I'd like to share with you personally are the steps that are involved with sourcination. The whole idea being that this procedure, which was given us by the archangels and higher beings, is intended to rapidly dissolve whatever blockages and holds there might be that are preventing you from entering the limitless consciousness of, shall we say, the soul domain. So there are some who would view this process as being a healing, and in fact it is. It is a healing of your separation of yourself and your awareness from your true Godhood. It is written that you are a spark of God, and this process is largely aimed at activating that spark and helping you to be not necessarily insensitive to, but distant from the woes and worries, trials and tribulations of daily life. It doesn't mean that you won't be responsible, but it does mean that you will be responsible in a very spiritual way. So the first thing, so what we will do then is give you little affirmations or requests that you're able to make of God, Jesus, Allah, Muhammad, whatever the creative center source, whatever the highest aspect of living to which you look. Some cases may simply be your higher self. So the first thing to do is take a slight breath and ask and simply say that if there are any agreements that have been made by you or someone else on your behalf that are interfering with your spiritual development, your spiritual progress, your understanding yourself as a spiritual being, you now ask, and you can simply say mentally, I ask that these agreements be canceled. And all these requests are made so that you may be a greater servant of life, that your own inner godliness may magnify and this light within you may expand and illuminate the world. The next thing you'll want to ask, and that is the following, and that is you want to ask that if there are any beliefs that you are holding right now that are inhibiting your progress spiritually from being, shall we say, the greatest spiritual servant that you could possibly be, you want to ask that those inhibiting beliefs now be removed. You can simply say, please remove any and all inhibiting beliefs that are interfering with my spiritual progress. The next thing you want to be able to ask is that any inhibiting beliefs, any beliefs that you're holding that create inhibiting beliefs, you ask that they be removed likewise. Now, it isn't necessary that you understand all these requests. It is helpful and useful, however, if you understand and notice the changes in how you experience yourself as a result of making this request. Next, you want to ask that if there are any connections that you have to others, other situations, organizations, people, programs that are not of light and love completely, you ask that whatever aspects of those connections that are not of light and love, you ask that they now be removed. They say, please disconnect any aspect of any connections that I have that are not of light and love, so I may be of greater service. Next, you want to ask that any intrusive elements, consciousnesses, intelligences that are interfering with your spiritual progress, you want to ask that they likewise be removed. And quite often, you ask that they be taken to a higher level of experience so they may grow and develop. And don't do this with a feeling of anger. Do it with a feeling of love. Because whatever is here is believing that it's helping you to become who you want to be as a spiritual being. And sometimes they are mistaken, and sometimes they're just simply interfering or busybodies. But be that as it may, you're asking the higher, you're giving permission for the higher power to remove them. If they were there before, but because the higher power thought that was something that you wanted. In some cases, it may be something that you desired. But today you're saying, I no longer desire that they be, and with great love and appreciation for whatever service they have given me, I now ask that they be removed to a higher vibration so they may grow themselves spiritually. Now, having done that, once you move through it, you ask them that everything that be removed, that everything that has been removed be replaced by divine healing light, which is multiplied to the highest level that you can possibly absorb or hold. So take a moment and feel that light expanding in your consciousness. If you're in the presence of a clairvoyant, someone who sees energy at this point, they would notice that your glow has increased and that your own personal energy field has magnified probably at least 10 times. So now you've completed the auric clearing and healing part of this work. Next, we want to move to the part that absolutely precedes soul ascension. And we do this through what is called the Soul Ascension Declaration and Inventory Process. What that simply means, the first thing we start out with is my saying to you, or asking you, are you ready to accept soul ascension, experience yourself fully and completely as soul? And if your mental answer is yes, you don't have to say it out loud, then now we do an inventory to see what in fact has occurred. First, we check to see if you are now completely aligned with your soul purpose. And if not, we ask the higher self to remove whatever is blocking you from being completely aligned with your soul purpose. And if you're able to scan energy or be clairvoyant, you will notice that you've come in completely into alignment. The next question we want to ask is that you be brought in complete alignment with your soul energy so that you are able to be a 100% channel for soul. And if you're not, we ask that anything that is blocking that, we ask that that now be removed. Next, we want to ask that you be opened to 100% of the capability of receiving God love from others, from life itself. And if there's anything that is blocking from doing that, I want to ask that that be removed. Take a moment and a pause. Finally, what we want to ask is that if there's any energies from your previous lifetime that are now interfering with your being a vehicle, shall we say, for your spiritual purpose in life, if there are any energies which are interfering with your being able to experience full and complete soul ascension, we want to ask that they now be removed, neutralized, and replaced with the purest and highest form of spiritual energy, whether it's the Holy Spirit, the Ek, the God Force, the creative current, whatever name you want to give it, even the Shabda, whatever name you want to give it, it is the essence of God. We're asking that this infuse every aspect of your life and living since your creation or since you emerged from soul. Now, this is your own personal source of nation. The final step in is to ask that you be allowed to experience wholly and completely soul ascension, that you now be asked to experience moving from the world of limitation to the world without limitation, from the limited to the limitless. Take a breath and notice the expansion. Not only are you lighter and brighter, but you also are completely expanded. You're in a world without end. Having experienced that, I invite you now to shift your attention away from your own physical world, from your town, your community, from your state, even from planet Earth. And I invite you to look at, just imagine in your inner vision that you're looking at the planet Earth. And for those of you who are clairvoyant who can see, notice the little sparks of light that are twinkling on the planet, around the planet. What I want you to know is that those are individual beings, human beings, that have come to the point where they now are ready to experience sourcination. Now, the first thing we want to do is say to them, and we're doing this telepathically, ask that any and all contracts that are interfering with your sourcination, ask that they be removed. Notice how they're getting a little brighter, they're twinkling a little stronger. The next thing you want to do is say to them, we're saying this telepathically, any inhibiting beliefs that you're holding, ask that they be removed, and these are beliefs that are interfering with your source of nation. You're being filled with divine Holy Spirit. So notice how they're getting even brighter. Next, any beliefs that create inhibiting beliefs, we would like for those to be removed as well, so that you may be a greater vehicle for God's work on this planet and wherever else you perform your service. We ask that any connections to others that are not of light and love, we want to ask that they be removed. You notice how these little lights are getting brighter and they're shining more strongly? So we want those connections not of light and love also to be severed. And where there are intelligences that are interfering with the progress of these individuals toward their own divine realization, we want those intelligences, be they entities, be they aliens, be they hostile thought forms, we are now asking that they be removed and completely erased and taken into higher levels of being. Notice how these little lights now are even stronger. They're steady. They're no longer twinkling. And now, having taken them through those steps, we move into the soul ascension area. And we ask that each and every one of these individuals now be granted, if that is their choice, soul ascension, which is the ultimate aim of Source Nation. And we ask if there are any blockages to their achieving soul purpose, that the blockages be removed. If there are any blockages to the ability to share soul energies and God energies, we ask that those blockages be removed. And lastly, and most importantly, if there are any blockages from past lives and previous incarnations that are interfering with the individual soul progress, we ask that those blockages be removed. And now finally, again, we declare and accept, if that is their choice, that each of these little sparkling souls now be granted ascension. And again, if you're looking at the planet Earth, you may begin to notice that these souls now are essentially migrating from that vibration and actually are disappearing into a higher state of awareness, which is can be viewed, but which is not viewed as a part of this exercise. So now we have completed essentially Source Nation for planet Earth. Now what I want you to do, if you will, is join me. We're now going to move completely outside the solar system, if that is given to you, and look back to the solar system. And what we'll do is simply ask that any and all contracts are preventing those aware souls from moving into the ascended state. We ask those contracts be removed and eliminated. We ask that inhibiting beliefs and beliefs that create inhibiting beliefs, we ask that those likewise be removed and eliminated. We ask that any connections that are not of light and love that these beings are holding, we ask that those be disconnected. And we ask that any alien intrusions, possibly aliens, etc., friendly or not, spirits, we ask that those likewise be removed and exited from the energy field of these individuals. And lastly, what we want to do is ask that each of these beings be granted 100% of the soul and God energy which has been given to them and is available to them. Now you'll notice as you look at the planets, look at the solar system, it's just flooded with all of these little lights that represent all of these beings that are now having the opportunity to ascend. And we declare and ask that any positive or negative energies from previous incarnations they may have experienced, that those energies now be completely neutralized and replaced by divine healing energy. And we declare that each and all of them now and recognize has been ascended. So this is a solar sourcination process which you have participated in. Finally, we ask that you, in order to maintain your focus, reassert your inner awareness into your center of your being and know that you are fully ascended, that you're in the limitless universe, that time is without end, that the blessings and love of all the higher beings surround you, that you are in the company of the archangels and the ascended masters, and that there's no difference between you and they, that the hand of God and the love of God protects and surrounds, uplifts you all. Thank you.